She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but...
If you're one of those people out there who love watching the NFL on CBS and Fox, and occasionally on some other networks that might pick up games, you know, like ESPN, ABC, occasionally get like wild card games and whatnot, you might not be a fan of this latest news, which is that Netflix, and this can't be a shock to anybody, but Netflix wants a Sunday afternoon NFL package. And if I had to guess, this is going to happen sooner rather than later. Now, the current broadcast deal runs through 2033. The league, however, has the right to pull the plug on the deal 4 years early. Gabe, do that math for me.
That's 29.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Math Wiz.
If Chewy can use you for certain things, yeah. I should be able to also use the Gabe calculator. Yes, it is obviously.
You're the one who took the ACD and did very well. So I think we look down more on you when you have to rely upon me versus Chewy. The expectations
are
different.
If I can use my fingers, it's all good, but I get a little embarrassed with the stream going. Anyway, so in 2029, obviously, that could change. Netflix is in this space, man. This is a thing. Netflix is hiring people to do sports. Netflix is hiring producers to produce games. Like, they are all in on the sports landscape. Chew, does it bother you that Netflix and some of these other streaming services might also be where games are seen? I know I have the capability to watch the games wherever they are, right? I got all the things. I got the Netflix, the Hulu, the Disney Plus, the whatever they are. And we're spending an arm and a leg and a fortune for it. But not everybody does. Should football always be on those major networks and not on streaming services?
Yes. And the problem has nothing to do with the streaming services, whether it's Netflix, like you said. And that doesn't matter. It's all about the commentators. The commentators on Netflix are terrible, right? That's why I enjoy watching. I enjoy watching the commentators do their work and giving their insight. It's just... These other streaming services, they're just not good.
So your point is there just aren't enough top-tier broadcasters to justify spreading the product out?
But Chewy, just like when, you know, CBS lost their broadcasting deal to Fox back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like Fox just, Fox had their own people that they hired, but they're going to hire the good ones away. Like if Netflix if Netflix ends up winning one of these, and Fox is out, right? Which would be awkward for them because Tom Brady's locked up to a 10-year deal at this point.
Yeah.
But they would just go and they would hire, you know, the top broadcasters from Fox because Fox now doesn't have a use for all these different guys.
But everyone's locked in, though, Gabe. You know, Romo's locked in. Akers locked in. They're all locked in. So until there's some new talent that comes along, they're going to struggle because there's nobody out there. You know,
but I maintain this would be a huge mistake for the NFL. I think right now they have they've dipped their toe into the streaming platform and it's just enough, right? Like whether it's the, you know, Christmas Day games, obviously the Thursday night package on Amazon. I don't think you want to take one of your premier packages, one of those Sunday afternoon packages, and put that on a streaming service. I think the reason why the NFL is king and is light years ahead of everybody else is the accessibility. Like on Sunday, you know, if you're a fan, you know the games are going to be on CBS and Fox. Or if CBS loses, then it's NBC and Fox or Fox, whatever. It's going to be on a broadcast network. And, you know, I was a kid that grew up without cable, didn't have cable. You know, and I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that don't have all the different streaming services required, but they can still watch the NFL because all you need is an antenna that costs you $20 on Amazon to be able to pull these games and be able to watch them on your TV. The accessibility of the NFL is the biggest reason it is light years ahead of everybody else. I mean, you think about the NBA, it's on 1,000 different channels. Major League Baseball, best of luck figuring out whatever channel any team's playing on during the postseason. It's so random and out of control.
Are they sacrificing quality, though, just for a money grab?
If Netflix won, yeah, they would. I think they would.
Like, does it bother you guys that these commentators are just like, ugh. No?
I mean, I guess for Netflix, they hired, they had a good broadcast crew for those Netflix games on Christmas.
They did?
Yeah, they had, Ian Eagle's kid, Noah. They had Noah Eagle, didn't they? And he's really good. I think Greg Olson, I mean, they had enough people. Like, I don't care about the pregame and postgame shows.
But even so, they cobbled together a really good crew for those shows as well, guys. You know, they pulled from ESPN, they pulled from NBC, they pulled, you know, they were able to get a lot of the top tier talent to be a part. Mina Kimes was on the broadcast. Laura Rutledge was on the broadcast. I think Robert Griffin III was on the broadcast. There is only one commentator, really, that, I don't even want to make it as dramatic as it's going to sound, that I don't really love.
It's Tom Brady.
No. Do you want to keep guessing or no? Should we?
So, broadcaster that Jen doesn't really love, Romo.
Romo. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even talking NFL.
Oh, okay. Then I would have been guessing for a very long time. I'd have gotten down to the Z team on Fox.
So when I watch football, there's only one real broadcast crew where I'm like, they're fine. They're not my cup of tea, but it's fine. It doesn't ruin the experience for me. And that is Gus Johnson and company. It's fine. It doesn't bother me. It's just not my cup of tea. It doesn't ruin my watching experience. It's just fine. I know there are a lot of people out there who like a Gus Johnson, like how he calls games. Not my thing. But so, Chewy, I am not like you where the broadcasters make or break the experience for me.
Okay. Yeah, it does for me.
Wonder how many people. I mean, because there's on the poll. Do you think there are people like, are there a lot of people who are in Chew's camp there where the broadcasters make or break? Joshy, are you a broadcaster's make or break for me?
I think people fancy themselves as it being make or break, but they sit down with their ass on the seat cushion and they watch it.
And they almost prefer if they were bad.
Yeah.
So they complain about it.
To me, it's whatever. I mean, I'm hardly listening to the person, if I'm being quite honest.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, what are they going to give me? They got quick bites. Like, I oftentimes will be like listening to something else as I'm watching a game.
That's
interesting.
Weird.
It's just what are those guys good? Like, is anyone appointment television in terms of broadcaster?
That's a great point.
Or have we just built them up to be that?
This
because
is a really, really, really good question.
We're there for
you,
the
Joshy.
Damn football. What the hell does it matter what the guy's saying? I don't care.
What if he's saying the wrong stuff, though?
Hey, you laugh at him? Ha-ha, got the guy wrong.
What if he gives you good insight? As to why a play worked or didn't work.
Do you ever feel like it's like, wow, like other than Tony Romo predicting plays, has there ever been anyone you're like, wow, that was insight I don't think I'd get anywhere else?
I think Greg Olson was really good at that, at breaking down and like, hey, here's why this play worked, here's why this didn't work.
I think so, but I also think that only applies to like, I mean, let's be honest, the majority of people who watch sports aren't as into it as us. So
this is really interesting to me. Is there any broadcaster out there who is destination watch? Because back in the day, there were, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could make the argument.
Keith Jackson,
that,
yeah.
And even Madden, John Madden.
Oh, yeah. Madden Summerall.
Idiosyncrasies. And my brain is now escaping me now. People really love Musburger. There were people out there who really loved Musburger call.
Merlin Olsen, another great one, you know.
Okay, now we're just making up names.
Merlin Olsen?
Is that
Merlin
Greg's dad?
Olsen?
Flowers Direct?
Listen, I can't, I don't know if you're lying or not, so.
Like, let's be honest, the biggest criticism you ever hear from most people watching is, XYZ hates my team.
Yes.
And that's not real. That doesn't happen.
Correct.
But people are so invested in their team that any perceived slight is them hating them. And that's what people care about. It's not, wow, Greg Olson gave me some insight onto why the cornerback three here was out of position and they were able to make this play. Because a lot of people don't understand that. They don't care about cover two. They care, does my team win? Does my team lose?
I'll tell you this, though. There are certain voices you become accustomed to hearing. And it's sort of woven into the tapestry of the experience. I feel that way about Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. Mm-hmm. I think Kirk, and this is not because I'm on the show with him, it's not because we're on College Game Day together, I think he is exceptional at analyzing the play, and I'm talking college football. I don't watch enough of him doing the Amazon stuff and in the NFL, but in college football, I think he is fantastic. I think he is an asset to the broadcast. But for the most part, I'm with Joshy. It's sort of, it's there. I don't know who it is sometimes.
SEC football to me years ago was Jen, Vern Lundquist, and Gary Danielson.
Yeah. Uncle Vern.
That was SEC. That's like, all right, good. Now finally some good football, you know?
Because there's been a lot of turnover in the NFL with some of those, you know, rotating over the last 10 years on who those lead analysts are. But I will say this, like, if I'm watching a Bucks game and Mike Breen, and I mean, we want to talk about rotating analysts, just Mike Breen's voice to me adds to the importance of games. Like, it feels elevated if Mike Breen is doing an NBA game where your team is featured. So I guess that's what I always felt when I was a kid, and if it was Madden and Summerall or Al Michaels, because this game, like, this is broadcast crew. It just felt elevated.
Yeah, but let me ask you something from recent history. It just happened. Bob Uecker not doing Brewers games anymore. Does that take away? Of course it
does.
For
a lot of people, yes.
And I also think that's different. I think when you're listening on the radio, that is a much more important.
And it's intimate. It feels a little more intimate.
Like the way Bob Uecker did games was one of one. He is unique to us, and we heard him like every summer. When I'm watching on TV, I understand the play-by-play guy being matter-of-fact because it is the pomp and circumstance is what you're going to. The first Masters I have to listen to without Jim Nance is going to feel like nothing. It's going to feel the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. But
God, I don't even know who to replace him.
It's an impossible task. I don't know who's going to do it. But when it comes to like the color guys and, hey, he was wrong about, like, other than getting guys' names wrong, I barely notice what the hell they're talking about because it doesn't matter to me.
So basically, our baseline is don't bleep up, right? Call the play correctly, explain why it's working, explain why they're doing this from an analyst standpoint. Again, the play-by-play guy, I feel like, not saying it's an easy job, I'm not saying I could do it, but I'm saying there's a lot less variance between the play-by-play guys. And maybe that's why Gus, to me, stands out, because there seems to be the most variance between his delivery on the play-by-play than some of the other guys that we listen to. 800-990-3776, reaction rolling in fast and furious on the Carbless talk and text line. People calling out their favorite. But I like this comment from Aaron in Fredonia. Madden and Summerall were the best national guys ever. And I don't believe for a second anyone tuned into them for analysis. Their personalities were just great together, and that's what it's all about. There is some truth to that as well. You just want to kind of like the guys who are calling your game. You know? Like, there is that.
Is there also an aspect here of we look fondly upon
nostalgia.
Things of the past? Yeah.
Yeah, nostalgia.
Where it takes us to a certain point.
Well, and I think that's what Chewie's going to have to reconcile with is because, you know, every cycle, you're going to get new voices, new people. I remember when, Gabe, help me out here. Who's the guy who calls the Los Angeles Dodgers games now?
John Facenda.
No.
Joe Davis.
Joe Davis, thank you.
Yes.
And he does Fox games as well. And when he first splashed on the scene, I was like, who is this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed new guy? And he has slowly and steadily worked his way to be a very credible, now recognizable, except for that moment where I couldn't remember his name.
Well, I mean, in fairness, it is Joe Davis. It's a pretty basic, like, it's not an extraordinary, like, standout name.
But now I've grown accustomed to him calling games, right? At the beginning, I was like, record scratch, no thank you. Now I'm like, I don't know, he's very good.
Well, because he also took over for Buck and doing all, he does the World Series now for Fox.
I also think that there was a benefit in years past and quite decently in the past of, there was only like one guy in town, really. There was, you heard Madden and Summerall because they were the biggest thing going. Now there is 18 different broadcast crews.
Yeah.
Like, I know way too many of these people's names who are, frankly, irrelevant to the greater game of football. Like, just because I'm watching on 14 different delivery methods, all these different, like, there used to be one game. We'd watch CBS because there was a game on CBS, and there was the same crew there every single day. That's not how it works anymore. It's too spread out.
Well, and that's the point that Chewie was making at the start of this conversation, which was he wants great broadcasters. And if there are so many platforms and so many ways to get your football, it's only going to water down the broadcast teams.
I still want to know who Merlin Olsen is, other than the wizard from Sword in the Stone.
God. A lot of people are weighing in telling us who Merlin Olsen is. I think I saw Carrie from Mayville referencing Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Merlin Olsen, Little House on the Prairie.
D-lineman for L.A. Rams with Jack Youngblood.
All right, Jack Youngblood. That's a name I recognize.
You guys are going to love Power Rankings then.
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
God bless America.
I forgot about this.
Oh, no.
We'll take a break and we'll do Chewy's Power Rankings right after this.
Can we make it a longer break? An incredible deal right now. BOGO on Screaming Sicilian Favorites, and it ends today. So you got to rush it. You got to get these today. Pick and Save in Metro Market stores, all your Screamin' Sicilian favorites. We're talking about the original Screamin' Sicilian. We're talking about Detroit style, thin and crispy, stuffed crust when it comes to Screamin' Sicilian and tavern style. All five of those, buy one, get one right now. Screamin' Sicilian at Pick and Save in Metro Market stores. Taste what all the screaming is about. Again, going on right now. Today, the last day. Go to Pick and Save in Metro Market for buy one, get one on your Screamin' Sicilian favorites from Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and I'm more nervous than usual. Maybe it's the warning shot he fired before the break.
I'm terrified.
Oh, okay.
Terrified.
So I appreciate that. Joshy, are you joining us in the fear, or are you going to
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Can the guy catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
That was the proverbial ripping off the band-aid, wasn't it, Joshy?
Yeah, let's just get it going. Let's get it over with.
Ye of little faith, because this is a great list.
I'm sure it isn't.
I just want, and this is old rules, like power rankings during the season, I want them in order. Okay? Give me... This is the ranking, the top 10 NFL broadcasting crews for 2024.
Last season?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last season.
Who? We gotta give them to me in order.
Who on earth knows the 10th
No,
best?
It's just like the old school, like the way we do it during the NFL season. You both get a guess. Whoever nails it gets a point. Whoever doesn't, even though they're on the list, you get no streak.
I'm going to be real honest. It's going to be hard for me to nail down the sideline reporters for all of these broadcast teams. I at least think
some
I
don't even
no,
have
it's just,
them.
It's just the guys in the booth.
Oh, okay.
It's just the guys in the booth.
Let's say somebody, some okay. don't even have a sideline reporter.
So, with that,
give me number 10. And you guys know all these crews.
Okay.
Number 10.
Again, this would have been better to prepare for because now 100%. I got to work backwards.
Right. So it just can we at least start with one? No, you know what, Chu?
Right.
I'm changing the rules. Let's just throw them out there, and if they're on the list, we get a point for it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be too hard to rank. It's going to be too hard to get them in order. Is that okay?
I could have got 8 out of the 10.
Don't ask
order.
Him for permission.
Good
Do
Lord.
The damn list.
Thank
Start
you, Joshy. You know what? I appreciate you taking control of this.
So
thing.
Buck and Aikman.
What number?
No.
Just tell us where well, they are
one,
on the list.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Are they one?
They are one,
okay,
and good. I get the point because I would have known that, so.
What is this scoring? Okay, so we got Buck and Aikman, obviously. We got to do the
Tarico Collinsworth,
yes, that's what I was going to say next.
I would have guessed Tarico Collinsworth at 4, and I would have been correct. Okay, so I've got 2 points right now. You guys
this
keep going.
This is like playing cards with the kid from Big Daddy.
Yeah. Nance and Romo.
What number?
Just tell us where they are.
2.
I would have guessed 2, and I would have 3 points.
I just guessed 2.
Number
you
2.
You son of a biscuit.
So that would... Man, I can't believe Tarico and Collinsworth would be behind Burkhart and Brady.
Well, since we're not doing numbers, Burkhart and Brady are 5.
You guys are missing a big one we just talked about.
Which
wait, so that means that
CBS.
Al Michaels and
Kirk
Herbstreit.
Wow, good for them.
Our number 3.
That surprises me.
Chicken Road out. You could have nailed
me.
These.
Because I don't think that there was a ton of how do I say this? I think that there were questions about that partnership.
Sure.
All right. With the first 5 being out, how would you have ranked them? I would have went Buck Aikman. I would have went Tarico Collinsworth at two.
Agreed.
I would have went Romo and Nance at three.
Yep.
Herbie and Al Michaels at four. And then I think Burkhart and Brett. Even though I love Burkhart,
thank
I think
you.
Burkhart's
That's the,
great.
Yes, excellent yeah. point by you.
I think he's great.
Tom
and you know what? Joshy just talked about it in the last segment. That's your next Masters guy, Gabe.
Burkhart?
I think he's that good.
CBS would have to hire him away from Fox. He's got a huge role at Fox.
I really like him. But I think that's an interesting point, Shu, because basically, remember when you do your offense-defense for football teams, and the offense can be really good, but the defense can be really stinky, and it drags down your average grade? That's what I think is happening here. Brady was just meh. And again, I'm going to give him some time. I'm going to be patient with him. I think he's going to be good. But this year, he wasn't. He was meh. And that drags the team grade down. Okay, now this is going to be tough. The bottom half of this?
6 through 10.
Well, so Joe Davis and Greg Olson are going to be somewhere on this list.
Yep.
All right, they're six.
Okay.
Wow.
That makes sense. I mean, they're the B team, so they would be just outside all of the A's.
Yeah.
Okay, who's I in with? Is I in with Charles Davis?
That sounds right.
Joe Davis.
Okay, well.
Hold on.
Put a pin in that.
It's Charles Davis. It's Charles. He sounds better with a Joe, though.
Yeah, well, that's because Joe Davis is also on the
a
list.
A person, yeah.
Is he? Yeah, that's right, he is.
Yeah, well, that's
what just we're talked thinking. About it.
We figured you were tipping your hand there.
Okay. All right, you got four to go. No, you got three to go.
Yeah, so
seven.
There's seven.
There's seven. Seven.
So Ian and Davis
8, 9, 10.
There.
These last ones I'd have no prayer at.
Okay. So Kevin Harlan's probably going to be somewhere on the list.
Ah, local.
And Kevin does the games at this point on... Who is he with on CBS?
Oh, that's going to be...
Former quarterback.
Is he still with Rich Gannon?
No.
Wrong one. Similar era. Same era.
Trent Green? Oh, he's with Trent Green now.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
So
They are nine.
So...
And I like them. I think they're good.
Well, that's because he's spectacular.
Kevin Harlan is one I'll get fired up when I hear his name. His voice.
What was he doing the other night? All-Star game?
I believe he did All-Star Saturday night.
Skills comp and all that stuff?
Yeah. Okay.
You got two to go.
So who else on Fox and CBS...
One of the people remaining was involved in Bountygate.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No idea.
Oh, so Vilma? Yeah.
Jonathan Vilma. Oh, who was at ESPN.
Yeah, and he does games for Fox.
Is he with Amin? Adam Amin?
Nope.
He is with... Is he with Myers?
Nope.
Chris Myers. I forgot Chris Myers called games.
His
Jonathan dad is a cross-dresser.
What the?
Now I'm scared.
Hi.
Who is it? God, I can't believe I'm blanking on his
name. Kenny Albert.
Oh, yeah, Kenny Albert.
I can't believe you didn't get that.
I couldn't give you
a better clue.
Yeah, well.
Couldn't you have? I wish you had kept that one to yourself.
It's on the internet.
There's a lot of things on the internet, big guy.
All right, you got one more. Jen, you got half.
Noah does games for NBC, so I don't know if Noah would make the list.
I just told you, Jen just got half.
Adam Amin?
Thank you.
Oh, does he do games with Schlereth?
No.
No, Ponytail. Man bun.
Oh, Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
All right, rank those.
Now that you've said his name, I can give you my Kindergarten Cop thing. He looks like the bad guy from Kindergarten Cop. And I know Kindergarten Cop is a long time ago. You got to go deep in the archives to remember the characters from Kindergarten Cop. But I swear to God, if you Google it right now, you'll be like, holy bleep, that's Mark Sanchez.
So I'm putting Joe Davis and Olsen last because Olsen couldn't block an artery and he's a pretty boy.
Good at analyst.
Excellent.
I don't care.
He's better than Brady. I mean, he should be on the number one team.
No, we just talked about typecasting actors. He's typecast to me. If he blocked and he wasn't a pretty boy, I would have put him higher. Can't do it.
You can't call anybody out from being a pretty boy, given that we have a framed shirtless picture of you in the studio being the prettiest of pretty boys.
I was
It coerced. Felt like Gabe wanted me to grab the picture.
I was coerced into that, had no idea.
That's the prettiest of pretty boys picture. Right there. Look at this man. Look at this hair. You can't tell me that you had your own swimwear line. That is the prettiest of pretty boy
and
things.
And if you're not watching on the YouTube stream, you are not seeing Chu's pecs dance right now.
I want all three of you at the same time to say that was a great list.
It was a good list.
Yeah, it was a good list.
It was timely. It was relevant. I don't love you trying to get us to jam them into each of the spots. That would have been way too tough. I like that we were able to modify it.
I mean, because we could have easily done like the top five and kind of going, oh, maybe they go here and here. But yeah, like with no prep.
You know all these crews, they've all done Packer games.
Yeah, but at the same time, like not knowing this was the list you were going to do and trying to come up with Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez off the top of my head at 10 would have been tough.
100%.
Fair enough.
All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the show, and we are running out of time. Let me talk about the best purchase I have made in quite a while, guys. It is my Good Health sauna. I caught a glimpse of it at the State Fair, at the Expo Center. I said I've always wanted to try it. I keep hearing about the health benefits of using a sauna. It'd be great to have one in my basement so I have it at my disposal. So that's what we did. I purchased the sauna. It's been in my basement ever since. And I am telling you guys, this is not just a sales pitch. I wouldn't use it if it didn't work, and it does. I sleep better. My skin is better. My hair was growing. The detox benefits, huge. And you know, during the football season, I travel a ton, so I need all the help I can get to feel like myself again. And that's what the sauna from Good Health Saunas does. They are based in Appleton and Waukesha. I love a local company. And you can check out all of the different infrared saunas on their website, goodhealthsaunas.com. And if you add /Jen, you will see a special rate, a special offer that we are giving people who are loyal listeners of the show. So go to goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen to check out the saunas available to you.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow
me? You don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let me tell you about our friends at the Ewald Automotive Group, because the best used cars are available right now, starting under $15,000. Choose from hundreds of hand-selected quality used vehicles, all with a 133-point inspection, all with a 3-day exchange policy, and all starting under $15,000. The best used cars starting under $15,000 only at Ewald Automotive Group. They make it easy for you. Start by browsing at ewaldauto.com.
Well, there has definitely been a peak in the number of times that Mark Sanchez and Kindergarten Cop has been Googled in the last 5 minutes here in southeastern Wisconsin. Got a number of people on the YouTube stream and on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more saying, oh my gosh, just Googled Mark Sanchez and Kindergarten Cop. You are so right. That from Q Turner and a number of people as well. Jim Martin says, thanks, Jen. I really needed that today. Are you doing it right now, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, it surprisingly comes up. Like, surprisingly comes up. Like, you start targeting, typing in Mark Sanchez into the Google, and, like, Kindergarten Cop is right there. Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. We have been talking about your Green Bay Packers, obviously. And I mentioned earlier in the show the T. Higgins thing. So Adam Schefter tweeted at a very unusual hour this morning, right? Wasn't it like 2 a.m.?
3:44 a.m.
3:40 our time.
Our time.
So I guess 4:44 his time, because he's out in the New York area. That it looks like they are going to try to franchise the Bengals, that is, T. Higgins, right?
Yeah, so the tweet reads, tag time starting today through Tuesday, March 4th. Teams can designate franchise or transition players. It is expected to be a quiet tag cycle with minimal tag options. Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins, Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold, or cornerback Byron Murphy Jr., and Chiefs guard Trey Smith.
So does that take him out of the mix, you feel like?
Yeah.
We gotta just move on.
Why would you tag Sam Darnold?
To trade him.
No one is... I mean, what's the number on a quarterback tag? It's got to be in the 50s.
I think it's 45. I looked at it. It'd be 45. But the goal there, Chu, would be then to negotiate a deal that's not worth $45 million for 1 year, but you're guaranteeing 100 plus over three, and it's not necessarily worth 45 a year. You know what I'm saying?
Someone would actually trade for Sam Darnold.
Oh, Chu, you are. Not, are you not aware of how desperate teams are for quarterbacks? And there's only two that may or may not even have first-round grades on them in this year's draft class. I mean, they're going to be taken in the first round, but I don't know if they have first-round grades from scouts.
Yeah, but Sam Darnold was so good is because off the Vikings have a lot of offensive weapons. I mean, you put him on a bottom-tier team with no talent, he's going to revert back to the Jets. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, so T. Higgins off the board, and yet Myles Garrett is somebody that we have also discussed at length on this program as somebody that we would like for the Packers to pursue this offseason. Browns are still acting like they're not going to trade him. It seems like Myles Garrett still wants to be traded. Bill Barnwell put a list out there, I believe it was yesterday or earlier this, maybe it was yesterday, about who are three teams that make the most sense for Myles Garrett. He has, Chu, do you want to try to guess what the three teams are that Bill Barnwell has picked? Do you want me to just tell you?
I'm sure one's the Packers, probably one's Detroit. Am I right or wrong?
Packers are not on his list.
Oh, they're not.
Although he says all 32 teams should be interested in Myles Garrett. He thinks that Detroit, Washington, and Philadelphia are the teams that are most intriguing. And I think there's a lot, I'm seeing a lot of traction on the Washington front. I'm seeing a lot of traction.
Jen, what I think people need to come to the realization after we heard from Jason in the first hour, just prepare yourself for them not doing anything.
Oh, a million percent. I could not agree with that more.
Start preparing yourself for nothing. Now, they may add Skeeter Lutz from who knows where, but it's certainly not going to be a splash. So I think people start preparing yourself. Because it doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
So beyond that, Chu, all of those teams that Bill Barnwell mentioned, famously in the NFC, teams that the Packers will have to go through, especially Detroit, but Washington is an up-and-coming team. Obviously, the Eagles are the defending champs. Like, that makes me nervous, if I'm being real honest, is having Myles Garrett on the other side in what could be make-or-break season games. You play Detroit twice. Commanders are likely on, are they on the schedule this year? Either way, you're going to see them in the postseason if you fancy yourself a postseason team. And then, of course, Philadelphia is just the strong getting stronger. So,
Gabe, would they swap out Sweat?
Yeah, because he's a free agent. So, yeah, they would, you know. I mean, but he's a free agent, so they're just replacing him with whatever picks they would send the way of Cleveland. Because, again, I don't think Cleveland's going to be wanting to take a lot of money back. Because if Cleveland actually pulls a deal off, and again, that's a huge if right now because they are standing pat, they're absorbing a lot of money and not a great cap situation. So I think they would just rather have controllable picks that don't cost them money right now versus, you know, I think one trade scenario had the Packers trading, you know, Rashawn Gary for him. Like, I don't think they want Rashawn Gary's contract. I don't think they want that money coming back. Because they're just blowing the whole thing up anyway if they decide to trade Myles Garrett, and they're just trying to get assets so they're going to be good in the future.
And I understand what Cleveland's doing because their window is closed. Sounds like they have no faith in Deshaun, which they shouldn't. So they're looking at potentially being good in 3 and 4 years, which Myles Garrett's going to be on the downslide at that point in time, so I understand moving.
Frankly, I don't really care about Cleveland. I care more about how this affects the Packers since they are not right now. And again, could Goody blow everybody's mind and all of a sudden jump into this thing and snag him, sort of like last year with the Xavier McKinney thing? I suppose. But this is not good news for the Green Bay Packers, too. That the Lions, the Commanders, and the Eagles are three teams in the NFC that seem to be, I don't even know how you'd quantify it, qualify it. Bill Barnwell is saying the most intriguing options for Garrett to land.
Well, I mean, no matter what pass rushers we're talking about, whether it's Max Crosby, whether it's Myles Garrett, I mean, NFC teams just make the most sense anyway. for the same reason that when the Packers traded away Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, they wanted to trade them away to the other conference so they didn't have to deal with them and see them. So, I mean, NFC teams would make sense for those two premium guys if they do indeed become available.
All right, so then go ahead and power rank those three, Chew. Where would you like to see him go of those three teams if he can't go to the Green Bay Packers? I'm saying Detroit last, because you know you got to face the Lions twice a year.
Yeah, I know.
You might run into those other two teams in the postseason.
I'd go Washington first and then Philly, because Philly's going to lose a couple players.
Yeah,
but
always
bringing
do.
Bringing in a Garrett is an upgrade from Sweat. So,
but I want no business of Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson pass rushing together. No, thank you.
Do you think you guys think that Goody can't do it because Rashawn Gary's you can't move on from this year, and you can't pay one player. You'd be essentially be playing one player $50 million.
Who cares?
Production.
If you can make it make sense and you're getting rid of one of them next year anyway and you can make it make sense on the cap, who cares?
I mean,
you're not paying. Who are you paying on the offense? Like, it's not even like Josh Jacobs making that much money.
No.
I mean, outside of Jordan Love, you're not paying anybody.
I would agree, but I wanted to ask Jason this, and I'll ask you guys. Because I was talking about the difference in GMs on who they pay. You think Goody's fine with the window half open for 8 years as opposed to wide open for four?
Ooh, what's the distinction? What's the difference between wide open, half open?
You go do a Garrett. You go do a Garrett, or you go do a T. Higgins.
So those moves would make it wide open.
I think so. I think if they got Garrett drafted wisely, added a little upper middle level receiver, I think they're in the conversation pretty well.
So my question to you, Chew, is this. If you think it's that dramatic, half open versus full open, to add an impact player like that, what is the holdup? Again, I'm using Chewy's math here. If adding a T. Higgins or adding a Myles Garrett changes it from half open to fully open, to me that feels like a good return on investment.
I think Jason summed it right up. Goody's still sticking to his plan. He thinks the D-line will be better because they went from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and it takes time. He thinks that they can compete on the D-line, which I don't think they can at all. He still believes in the receivers. Like, oh, these guys are still young. They're going to grow in this. They might, but they're not going to grow to the point where I don't see it right now. Should he stick to his plan?
Is the 4-3 to 3-4 thing the...
No.
It's the biggest sack crock of you-know-what. Because I will say this.
Good
like,
job tap dancing there, Fred Astaire.
It drives me crazy because you're telling me you trade for a Myles Garrett. He's going to from that system to this system. We would all expect him to have a great year next year, right? If you trade for Myles, if you trade for Max Crosby, and suddenly these guys are going to be able to figure it out. Like, if you can't figure it out throughout the course of a 17-game season, like, I don't have faith you're going to be able to figure it out starting the next year. Like, maybe you're just not good. I understand there's an adjustment period, but if you're a playmaker, you're a playmaker. You're going to go out there and make plays.
I agree. And Gary was in the 4-3 at Michigan, so it's not like this is foreign to him. Lucas Van Ness, I just think at this point, 2 years, and he's been terrible. I just think that's chalked up to, swing and a miss.
I mean, because for the most part, you're playing a four-down lineman thing anyway, even in the 3-4. You're only playing three-down linemen with two overhang linebackers 25% of the time. The other 75% of the time, you're in sub-packages, and you got four linemen in there anyway. And, your linebacker and Rashawn Gary's acting like a defensive end. So
The weird thing to me is we talked about at the beginning of the season, I was more concerned about how Rashawn Gary would handle the run.
Yeah. And he actually did that.
And he did it pretty well. But the problem is, like, Sammy Walker. Oh, hell of a blocker. He can block. Who gives a flying crap about blocking? I care about the end zone.
Yep.
Who cares about stopping the run? Get to the quarterback.
That's what you get paid for.
We got
to
ban Sammy Hawkins' name.
Talking about me. Speaking of things you should care about, you.
Just no objection from the panel.
That canine tooth that I just got a real good look at when you jumped up and stared at the camera on the YouTube stream. I'd take a look at that. I'd have your dentist take a look at that one if I were you.
Is it up? Is it on the top or bottom?
Get closer.
Should I get some veneers like this and walk around and go like
this? Please. Please get veneers and then call somebody else a pretty boy.
Everybody gets veneers now. It's crazy town. All right, we got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. One more segment to get to. Gabe, I have my friends over at Quintessa. Great. Let's talk about them. I know the new year is a time when a lot of people want to hit the reset button. Maybe it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of ourselves. From January 1st through March 31st, Quintessa Aesthetic Center is offering special packages to help you start this year as the most confident version of yourself. Maybe it's wellness or weight loss plans. Maybe it's Botox or skincare. Maybe it's IV therapy. They've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. You can check it all out at myquintessa.com. That's MyQuintessa.com to make this year the year you feel most confident inside and out.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey!
Had to clear my throat. Let me clear my throat. Chewy, do you know that song?
Nope.
Feels like, oh, it feels like you would have been in the club when that song was playing.
Is that Wiz Khalifa?
Nope.
Yeah, you nailed it. Off his cushion orange juice mixtape.
Someone's sassy today.
Today?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Will Jordan Love be the MVP of the Green Bay Packers team in 2025? 60% of people are saying yes to this question. 40% of people are saying no. Chew, do you agree with Gabe that he sort of has to be if this team has any real Super Bowl hopes?
As of right now, yeah, he's got to be a top three guy.
I mean,
top three guy. If things could change,
their schedule is
Good. Give us it. Give
it's
it.
Not fun.
Give us the information.
So the home teams next year, Chew. So obviously, you have the Vikings, the Lions, Bears,
mm-hmm.
Eagles, Commies, Ravens, Bengals, Panthers.
At least we got the Panthers,
right?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, man.
We're not. Yeah, that's not great, Bob.
No. I mean, the road schedule a little bit better. Vikings, Lions, Bears, Cowboys, Giants, Browns, Steelers presumably in Ireland, Broncos, Cardinals.
That's still got some tough teams in there. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's better than that home schedule.
Is it asking too much for fans to go into the 2025 season thinking that the Packers can contend if they don't do anything?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's insane.
It's asking a lot.
Yeah, if they don't do anything other than just add through the draft, that's not where this team is.
Yeah, and one of the things I love about Packers fans is they're very well-informed. They're very in the know about their squad. But you'd have to do a lot of smoke and mirrors to convince them that this team could hang with the top teams in the NFC and beyond. All right, good stuff. Will Dean Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.